All right, new threats are coming. New warnings are being given. We're talking about the Russia crisis. It doesn't appear to be de-escalating anytime soon. In fact, it's intensifying by the day. And we want to get you up to par with the latest developments. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Friday, November the 22nd. We are getting very close to Thanksgiving, and things are still very dangerous right now in Europe. We're talking about the Russia crisis. We've got a lot of information to give you today on this 2 p.m. Eastern podcast. So go ahead and buckle up and get ready. Before we get really into this thing, guys, I'd like you to do me a favor. Of course, smash that like button. Help us get eyes on our program here on Rumble and on YouTube and other platforms as well. Guys, you can take it a step further by downloading our free app. It is available on Apple and Android devices. Again, it's absolutely free. This is how you can keep up with this, all of our podcasts, updates, breaking news, everything's going to be right at your fingertips. Again, just download the app, hit yes to push notifications, and you'll be squared away. All right, guys, this is a headline from the Daily Mail. Wow, World War III has begun. Terrifying warning coming from Ukraine's former military chief, who is now saying that North Korea, Iran, and China are now openly standing beside Putin. Again, these are the lines that we talked about that are being drawn. Ukraine's former military chief has warned that World War III is already underway, with Vladimir Putin's autocratic allies, North Korea, Iran, and China, openly supporting his forces on the battlefield. Ukraine's envoy to the United Kingdom told the UP100 award ceremony in Kyiv, quote, "I believe that in 2024, we can absolutely believe that the Third World War has begun." Wow, what a statement, guys. Again, do you agree with this statement from Ukraine's envoy to the United Kingdom? Is 2024 officially the year that World War III began? Hit a Y for yes, hit N for no in the comment section or in the chat. The general said that as of this year, Ukraine is no longer facing Russia. Soldiers from North Korea are standing in front of Ukraine. He made the comments after reports emerged that around 10,000 soldiers has now been sent by North Korea to fight alongside Russian troops in this Kursk region as Moscow aims to replenish its forces and reclaim the territory, taken from 3 months ago. Zelazny went on to highlight the support Putin's armies had received from Tehran, which had sent thousands of SASH attack drones to Moscow and also assisted it with technology to build the drones itself. More than 8,000 Iran-developed drones have been launched since the war began 2.5 years ago, with many targeting civilian homes as well as military targets. Quote, "Let's be honest. Already in Ukraine, the Iranian Shahidiyas are killing civilians absolutely openly without any shame." He went on further to say that, quote, adding that Chinese and North Korean weapons were also being used against his country. Now, this comes after Moscow's ambassador to the United Kingdom declared that Britain is now directly involved in the war after Kyiv's storm shadow attack on Russian territory. Asked if the UK is at war, the prime minister told BBC local radio, quote, "We're not at war, but Ukraine certainly is." He went on further to say that, quote, "Russia is the aggressor. This war could end today if Putin stopped being the aggressor." Now, this comes as the UK army chief said that, quote, "We're ready to fight Putin in Eastern Europe." The report indicates, according to Politico, Britain's armed forces would be ready to fight their Russian counterparts tonight if Vladimir Putin invades another Eastern European nation. This is coming from a top UK military chief. Quote, "If the British army was asked to fight tonight, it would fight tonight." This is according to the deputy chief of the British Defense Staff told the House of Commons Defense Committee, quote, "I don't think anybody in this room should be under any illusion that if the Russians invaded Eastern Europe tonight, then we would meet them in that fight."
Let's bring John Herbst in on all of this, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. Welcome, Ambassador Herbst, who's now the director of the Eurasia Center at the Atlantic Council. What about that point? What's Biden up to here at the end of his administration? I mean, he's really been ratcheting it up. Seems like he's trying to do all he can for Ukraine. Are there risks associated with that?
I would not say that he is ratcheting it up. The Biden administration is right when they say that Russia has been escalating at every turn. And let's keep in mind the most dangerous thing that's happened in Eastern Europe over the past 6 weeks is the introduction of combat troops from North Korea, 9 or 10,000 miles from the front. That is the huge escalation. And that was the principal reason why Biden decided to allow Ukraine to use American attackums in Russian territory. But point of fact, he should have made that decision months ago. He has regularly been too slow and even timid in giving Ukraine the weapons it needs and permission to use those weapons. The Russians have been able to intimidate not just the United States, but other allies, our other allies, by threatening nuclear war when he had no intention to actually use nuclear weapons. And that's a problem, too.
What about the back and forth that we saw some of this today? It was kind of interesting. I want to play part of this about what types of missiles were being used by the Russians. And Kelly went through what missiles the United States thinks were involved versus Ukraine talking about ICBMs. But there was a briefing in Russia with the spokesperson there for the Russian Foreign Ministry. And, you know, it's in Russian, so I just want to play a second of it, but you'll see, you'll get the idea.
I speak Russian.
There you go. Maybe we should have just had you translate it, but I have the translation. And what's interesting is that she's up at the briefing, and all of a sudden she gets a phone call, and this is what it looked like. Watch.
Hello.
So she says, yeah, hello. And then there's a male voice on that who talks to her, her name's Maria, says, and she's like, well, yeah, I'm at a briefing. And the male voice says, well, about the ballistic missile strike that the Western media is talking about, we're not commenting on that at all. And she's like, oh, okay, fine. And then they say goodbye right in the middle of the briefing. But what's going on?
Well, she would not have taken that call if it wasn't from an important person she needed to talk to, right? Because she's in the middle of the briefing. It's a little bit embarrassing. And so she followed that person's instructions and she didn't talk about it. It's a little bit embarrassing, but not, you know, not so surprising. She'll take her instructions from her policy masters.
I guess one of the questions is, and you alluded to this earlier, the real threat, and that's when people talk about ICBMs, which the U.S. says were not used in this particular encounter of nukes being nuclear warheads being carried on these missiles of Russia using their nuclear arsenal. How real is that threat? I know it's always tough to tell with Putin, right?
Well, there are different categories of ballistic missiles. This was not an intercontinental ballistic missile, which has a range of 5,000 miles or more.
Right.
They believe it was a medium range missile, which has a range from like 1,000 kilometers to 3,000 kilometers. So that's what our experts believe it was. But the reason why Putin did this is because he's trying to intimidate us so we withdraw that permission from Ukraine to strike into Russia. That's what this is all about. And Putin has threatened nuclear holocaust 5 or 6 times to prevent us from doing certain things. And he has, in fact, prevented us for a time from doing those things. But then when we decide to do them, there's no nuclear response because Putin knows it will be a disaster. It will be suicide for him and for Russia as well, because the United States is every bit as armed nuclearly as Russia is.
Okay, you know this region, know all the players in the region well. What changes? What's the risk? What are your thoughts about the handover of power from Joe Biden to Donald Trump and post-January 20th, 2025?
Well, Biden has at least presided over a policy that prevented Putin from winning in Ukraine. But it has prevented also Ukraine from winning because he's been intimidated by Putin's nuclear threats. Trump's approach is he will make a peace deal. And a peace deal, which, if you take his words seriously, will include Ukraine's survival and Ukraine's security. So I think he will try to do that. But Putin has no interest in Ukraine's survival. He has no interest in just controlling the parts of Ukraine he currently controls. He wants to have effective political control of the country. And once that becomes clear to the Trump administration, that's the moment of truth. I don't think President Trump, who conceives himself as a strong man who makes great deals, is going to then resign himself to Putin take over Ukraine, because that would make Trump look like a very weak leader. And he doesn't conceive of himself that way.
All right, here's another report, guys. Europe prepares for World War III. Now Germany reveals it is planning to mobilize national defense and 800,000 NATO troops. Guys, we are literally on the brink of a million NATO troops being mobilized. This comes after the Kremlin nuke threat, as U.S. announces new weapon Kyiv can use to stop Russia after allowing long-range missile strikes. This report says that European nations are gearing up for an all-out war on the continent as Ukraine launched U.S.-made missiles into Russia for the first time, and Putin officially lowered the threshold for, a nuclear strike. Again, this is all old news at this point. We've reiterated that many times. But Germany's foreign minister recently vowed her country, quote, will not be intimidated by Putin. Just one day after German media revealed the nation will transform into a NATO staging ground if the conflict in the East should escalate. Let me say that again. Again, the foreign minister of Germany just stated that they will, quote, not be intimidated by Putin, and revealed that their nation will transform into a, quote, NATO staging ground if the conflict to the East should escalate. According to a 1,000-page document entitled Operations Plan, Deutschland, Germany would reportedly host hundreds of thousands of troops from NATO countries and serve as the logistics hub for sending huge quantities of military equipment, food, and medicine towards the front. This report went on to say that as many as 800,000 soldiers from the security bloc could be hosted by Germany as they transit to post further east. The German army is also instructing companies and civilians on how to, quote, protect key infrastructure and mobilize for national defense, envisaging a situation in which Russia expands drone flights, spying operations, and sabotage attacks across Europe. Again, businesses have been advised to create crisis plans detailing employee responsibility during emergencies and will be instructed to stockpile diesel generators or install wind turbines to ensure energy independence. So, guys, everything is saying here, all these European countries are all preparing for World War III. But what is America doing? Are we taking this threat serious? Is this something we're just blowing off? I've got some clips I've got pulled up, and we're going to listen to some commentary on this. It's going to be interesting to give some different views here. Again, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the comments, in the chat. You guys that are watching by Rumble, whatever the case may be, what is your take on this? Should America be taking this more seriously? Because I'm seeing Europe really taking this serious. I mean, they're mobilizing troops. They're preparing their country. Whether it be through fuel reserves, multiple countries are warning its citizens to prepare by stockpiling food, water supplies, medical supplies, etc. But I'm not seeing that here in America. I'm not seeing any kind of indication that there is any threat here to America. All right, let's watch this clip real quick.
So Ukraine reportedly uses the long-range missile for the first time to blow up Russian weapon facility as Putin issues nuclear warning to America. And Rob, if you have the clip, is this the clip of Ukraine attacking Russia?
This is Russia using the ICBM night into Ukraine.
They're saying it looks like, and mind you, I worked at Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana, ICBM missile. This is what it would look like at night. They're saying that he's doing it to show a force with no warhead on it. But just they're saying that this might be him showing like you
firing
guys.
Off. Firing actually off. Firing actually off, but there is no warhead
on
it.
There's no warhead on it. Oh, yeah, you would know.
Dude,
that noise?
Wow.
No warhead in it. If no there war- was a warhead, oh, it's a warhead, different story.
The camera's gone. This guy's gone. They're all
this
gone.
This is last night.
Завод. Еще одна. Еще.
Oh. That's fear. You hear the fear? It's... I'm telling people.
Wow. The sound of that, guys, is horrific.
Rob, where is this?
Еще.
It's still causing damage.
Oh,
but
it's
not
causing
the damage
oh,
of
yo.
A nuclear bomb, obviously.
Pat, if it was a nuclear warhead, that first wave, this guy yeah. would have felt the impact that he's done.
Yeah.
That's scary.
So that's this taking and, place, and then you have and Putin that comes out.
That's wild, man.
Putin comes
sounds
out.
Sounds like an airplane, like it, doesn't it?
Oh, well, sounds like an airplane. These are the ones at nighttime, Rob.
I saw this one. Yeah, don't play this clip, Rob.
Sounds like Boeing testing 737s.
Yeah, see,
there's three of them. I saw the.
This is what I was talking about. About look, it looking like it's a ICBM.
This is where this is in Ukraine.
This is just fast. This is the fast. The fast forward part of it, but that's what they would look like, guys. That's when that type of stuff is happening. It's like,
all right, Russia says hypersonic missile strike on Ukraine was a quote warning to the reckless West. The Kremlin stated on Friday that a strike on Ukraine using a newly developed hypersonic ballistic missile was a quote message to the West that Moscow will respond harshly to any reckless Western actions in support of Ukraine. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov was speaking a day after President Vladimir Putin said Moscow had fired the new missile at a Ukrainian military facility in response to Kyiv striking Russia with U.S.-made and British-made missiles this week for the first time after the U.S. granted its approval. Quote, the main message is that the reckless decisions and actions of Western countries that produce missiles, supply them to Ukraine, and subsequently participate in strikes on Russian territory cannot remain without a reaction from Russia. The Russian side has clearly demonstrated its capabilities and the contours of further retaliatory actions in the event that our concerns are not taken into account have been quite clearly outlined. Wow, guys, that's a heavy statement right there. I'm going to read that one more time. The Russian side has clearly demonstrated its capabilities and the contours of further retaliatory actions in the event that our concerns are not taken into account that have been quite clearly outlined. All right, now we got new threats. Russia is now threatening to attack Poland. The Kremlin warns that it can strike U.S. base using advanced weapons as NATO scrambles jets and Putin unleashes ICBM in Ukraine for the first time after snow shadow strike.
The White House warns that escalation is coming at every turn from Russia as Moscow sends a dangerous new warning to Western countries helping Ukraine. A Russian spokesperson now threatens that a U.S. anti-missile base in Poland is a, quote, priority target. This after Russia fires a missile capable of holding a nuclear warhead into Ukraine for the first time in this war. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and FBI Director Christopher Wray skipped a Senate global threats hearing yesterday, saying they would prefer a classified briefing instead. News Nation's Tom Dempsey has the latest from Washington this morning. Tom, Russia is turning up the heat here. So what more do we know about their escalating threats?
Hey, good morning, Marky. This actually marked the first time ever in war Russian forces used this experimental intermediate-range missile to target a city in Ukraine. And footage actually captured the moments of this missile raining down on this city in Ukraine. It targeted a Ukrainian military facility in the city of Dnipro. This is a missile capable of carrying a nuclear warhead. The Russian President Vladimir Putin saying it can travel at 10 times the speed of sound and can be fitted with multiple warheads, including nuclear ones that can hit multiple targets. Russia saying it warned the United States 30 minutes before launching this missile. But Putin saying this new missile could be used to attack any Ukrainian ally whose missiles are used to attack Russia. And of course, this comes after Ukraine used American, French, and British missiles to strike military targets inside Russia for the first time ever starting this week. New reports say in one of those strikes with those Western missiles, Ukraine wounded a senior North Korean general who was serving in Russia. And this morning, a new U.S. missile base in Poland is facing threats from Russia, with a Russian spokesperson saying it's a priority target for potential neutralization in case of all-out war. Now, no nuclear weapons are stationed at this U.S. base, according to Polish military leaders. Its purpose is supposed to be a defensive and is focused on taking out short to intermediate range missiles, just like the one Russia just tested. It's not clear how many troops are based there, but there are about 10,000 U.S. soldiers stationed in Poland. You get a sense of this war escalating even more this morning, Marky. Russian President Vladimir Putin blaming the United States for escalating the war, but President Biden repeating statements he's made over the past few months and years, for that matter, with this conflict, saying that if Russia were to pull their troops out of Ukraine, that would mean the end of the war.
All right. Meanwhile, guys, in the Middle East, back to Israel. This was unbelievable. The International Criminal Court has just issued arrest warrants for both Netanyahu and Gallant over Gaza war. Again, according to reports, the International Criminal Court, issued arrest warrants yesterday for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Israeli Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant. All this for supposed, quote, war crimes committed in Gaza. The ICC prosecutor, who faces sexual misconduct allegations, brought the application for the warrants earlier this week, along with applications for warrants against Palestinian terrorists, all of whom have since been killed by the Israeli Defense Forces. In a massive legal bombshell, the International Criminal Court issues arrest warrants for both, again, Netanyahu and Gallant. For the first time, the court has ever issued such warrants against leaders of a democratic country. Let me pull this other, this is another article here. Let me show you this. Six European countries, including Canada, would all arrest Netanyahu following this, again, this International Criminal Court decision.
An arrest warrant was issued for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his former defense minister by the International Criminal Court. The charges, crimes against humanity, inhuman methods of warfare, starvation against the people of Gaza. And they say that there are reasonable grounds to believe they committed murder and persecution. Netanyahu's response is that this is an act of anti-Semitism, has one goal: to deter me, to deter us from exercising our natural right to defend ourselves. President Biden echoed it. Let me be clear once again, whatever the ICC might apply, there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. We will also stand with Israel against threats to its security. Now, Israel nor the United States are signatories to the ICC's charter, but that does not affect the ability of member countries to have a duty to act on that arrest warrant. So now the head of Israel is in the same position as Putin, where he's got to be careful about going to certain countries. Let's discuss the implication. Former Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Michael Oren. Michael, how big a deal?
It's a very big deal, Chris. Good to be with you, but it's a dark night. It's a big deal because, first of all, yes, as you said, it equates Israel with Hamas. It equates Israel with Russia. It is the first democratic country in history to have this type of warrant issued against its leaders. It's unheard of. And that's really what makes it anti-Semitic. There's the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. It has a definition of anti-Semitism, which is accepted by more than 40 countries in the world and by a growing number of American states, that says holding Israel to a standard that's different than other democratic countries is by definition anti-Semitic. And this is precisely what the ICC has done. It's taken the Israeli democracy and treated it completely different than any other democracy in the world. But that's just the beginning of the danger, because what begins with Netanyahu as prime minister and Gallant as the former defense minister can then roll on. It's a slippery slope. Then it becomes generals. Then it becomes platoon commanders. And before you know it, it's the paratroopers and the infantry who can't go to Belgium and can't go to Canada and can't go to the Netherlands because they're wanted for war crimes.
I understand your concerns with the process and the reach, but what about the substance? Has Israel been killing too many for too long based on the concept of defending itself? Have they exceeded the threat profile?
Let me say, right off the bat, I'm not a spokesman for the Israeli government. I'm a citizen. And every Palestinian casualty is one too many. But if you look at the numbers and even the Hamas numbers, you'll find that the ratio of combatants to civilian fatalities in Gaza is the lowest ratio of any conflict in modern military history. It is 1-1. For every combatant killed, there is a civilian killed. Again, that civilian's death is a tragedy, but it's caused by the fact that the Hamas is using these civilians as shields. It's not only fighting behind them, it's fighting under them in 400 miles of tunnels. When America fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, the lowest ratio America registered was 9 civilians to every combatant killed. It went higher and higher. I didn't see the United States being dragged to the ICC.
And no mention of the fact that the hostages have still not been returned. But this certainly complicates things for Israel's ability to operate through its leadership on the world stage. So we'll keep monitoring and we'll see what this does also to galvanize the support for the terrorists that they're fighting against.
Those include Canada, France, Norway, Switzerland, Austria, the Netherlands, and Ireland said they would all comply with this decision. Also, Trudeau pointed out that Canada was one of the founding members of the ICC and, quote, "We stand up for international law and we will abide by all the regulations and rulings on the international courts." Wow, guys. This is straight out of Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Now, we have warned for multiple times, guys. We've done extensive teaching on this. The prophet told us, and we're talking about Zechariah, and also Joel as well, has warned that in the last days, Jerusalem would become a heavy stone for all people. Okay, Jerusalem is going to be the center focal hotbed for all end time activity. So you better get ready for that. And the Bible clearly tells us that all nations would gather against Jerusalem in the last days. And this is exactly what we're seeing, guys. We're seeing these nations begin to gather against the nation of Israel. All right, guys. So again, we've got a lot that's escalating. Things are just real. Just continue. We, as a body of Christ, we have to continue to keep in prayer. And I'm going to just keep reiterating this. It's, you know, it's the alarms are going off. All the bells and the whistles and the alarms are going off. Everything is happening just like the Bible prophesied that it would. These nations against nations and kingdom against kingdoms and these conflicts and wars and rumors of wars are going to continue to escalate, continue to intensify. All of this has to happen. But again, we have to do our part and we have to prepare accordingly. Now, again, what that looks like, that's between you and your family. Because if I was to take a poll right now on any of these platforms, whether it be podcasts, Rumble, YouTube, whatever, social media, and ask people, how do they plan on preparing for the end times? How do they plan on preparing in the event that this thing begins to escalate and continue? And you're going to get mixed views. There is some people out there, and you'll get them in the chat. And trust me, you get crazy people in the comment section. We had somebody yesterday that we did a teaching last night, and they felt the need to go on there and comment multiple times to warn me, listen to this crazy stuff, to warn me that the Apostle Paul, who wrote 14 letters of the New Testament, that's a lot of your New Testament, was a liar and a false prophet, and that we should disregard anything the Apostle Paul said. Basically, rip out, you're talking about the book of Galatians, you're talking about the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Romans, the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Rip all these books out. I'm telling you, we've got to get back in the Word of God. That is the number one thing I think all of us should be doing, is getting our relationship with God solidified in these last days. I want to make sure that my foundation is sound and secure. The wise man will hear the words of the Lord, and he has built his house upon the rock, and that when the winds and the storms come and it beats upon the house and the rains fall, that things may fall and devastation is going to happen, disasters are going to happen, but the foundation will remain. But if you build your house upon the sand and the storms of life come, then you're going to be in a world of trouble. So that, if I had to put something above all things, guys, Noah, knowing the coming judgment of God, built an ark, moved by fear. The Bible says he moved by fear, or he moved by the fear of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. He moved by faith and by the fear of the Lord, and prepared accordingly by building an ark for the saving of his household. So what are we going to do? That's the ball's in your court. But I'm telling you right now, I do not see things getting better according to the Bible. They're going to continue to escalate, continue to intensify, continue to increase. The birth pangs of the Messiah will only intensify. Again, just like we talked about last night, these are all climaxing because there has to be multiple events that will come to their fullness in order to thrust us from one dispensation to another dispensation. And we're moving from the dispensation of grace unto the tribulation period. So all these things has to happen. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, guys, if you have not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. Pick it up, download it today, hit yes to push notifications so you can be squared away. Have every headline, every podcast, breaking news, everything right there at your fingertips. As always, if this ministry informs you, equips you, encourages you, all the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically or through check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Now, guys, we plan on coming back here tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have an equipping message. And then we'll be back here probably one more time tomorrow on Saturday. And then again, we will be off for 6 days. We won't be back until that following Saturday because we will be in, we will be out of town in Virginia for Thanksgiving with our family. We appreciate your prayers, for safe travels. And again, tomorrow we'll be praying for all of you guys as well, when we do our Saturday broadcast. So guys, until we see you tonight, I pray the Lord bless the rest of your day. May you be safe and may you be blessed and may the Lord be with you in all that you do. We'll see you tonight.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.